before we get into the episode, head on over to RighteousFelon.com for all your favorite beef jerky flavors. I'd recommend starting off with the whole shebang Kraft Jerky gift bundle. The jerky is smoky and savory, spicy and sweet. All of your favorites all in one variety pack. Use promo code OCSN, all lowercase, to get 15% off at checkout. Don't miss this great opportunity. Go to RighteousFelon.com today.
You're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our love.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Ice Cold Takes podcast. I'm your host, Joey DiMeglio, and today I'm joined by Avery Zaretsky, formerly the Rangers guy for Barstool Sports. Avery is here to talk about this next set of games for the Rangers and the possibility of moving up to the second seed or even the first seed in the Metropolitan Division. Thanks so much for joining me, Avery. How are you?
Joey, first of all, just want to thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. You're doing a great job here. Love what you got going on. And yeah, I'm excited about the Rangers right now. I really think they're playing well. They had a little bit of a skid against Carolina, but other than that, they look like they're ready to go for the playoffs.
Yeah, and the players seem to think so as well. One game, you move on and, you know, get back to whatever they were doing last week, where they went 4-0. That was a impressive week by the Rangers. But I mean, let me start by asking you. So you're the Rangers guy for Barstool. That's in your Twitter bio. Wayne Gretzky called you out on that. Tell me, what was it like working at Barstool? I know you've moved on now. I saw that yesterday. But tell me about your experience at Barstool.
Yeah, I made it public yesterday, but I haven't really gone on anything and talked about it. But basically, you know, Barstool is the greatest place in the world to work for somebody who's young and ambitious and trying to make it in the sports media world. And I've met so many amazing people over the years. There's a enormous list of people that I'd have to put right down to thank for my time there. But at the end of the day, it all came down to job happiness. You know, about a year ago, I was doing the chiclet stuff. I was doing the foreplay stuff, but it kind of died down and I had my main focus on macrodosing, which is a great podcast and I love it. It just, at the end of the day, wasn't for me. And the company's moving to Chicago and going in a different route. And I didn't want to hold the podcast back just because I didn't love what I was doing anymore. So the next route, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm excited and we'll see where it takes me. You know, I want to stay in the media world. I want to do hockey. Like, that's my passion, if anybody knows me. So we'll see. But in terms of Barstool, like I said, greatest place to work, man. Like, I love it there. And, you know, for anybody who wants to work there, I say go for it, man. Like, that place, the people who work there. That was the reason why I wanted to stay at the end of the day, is because of the people, but I didn't want to hold anybody back in terms of like the podcast. So the people were amazing, but it just ended up being, for me personally, something that I wasn't happy doing anymore. But there's a lot of success there and there's a lot of people who love what they do there. And there's no reason why anybody shouldn't want to hop on that train.
I'm not going to agree with Dave Portnoy's pizza takes, but I will say Barstool's been around for a long time. I remember watching the rundown back when it was just KFC, Big Cat, and Dave. Those three guys, I remember those days, but now it's like this big company. Do you think you're going to like stick with the Rangers, like doing content or anything like that? Are they in your plans, or are you more just a sports focus kind of?
Yeah, that's the goal, man. I'm you know, weighing all my options. Of course I want to stay talking about the Rangers, that's my passion, but you never know where it could take me, what road the sports media world or any world could take me down. So I'm excited to see where I go. I don't have any plans yet, but who knows, we'll see what happens.
So we got a comment here: thank you for Kane, Avery, you saved my life. This is one of our listeners of the show, Python. Shout outs to him.
I love that. Are we live right now?
Like, we are like live. Yes.
That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. StreamYard's the best. Getting used to this kind of software is interesting. I used to just use Zoom and just publish the episodes like every week, but now
how much is StreamYard paying you, Joey?
No, they're not paying me anything.
Talking about it. Like,
yeah, no, I should, I should ask mm-hmm. to, maybe ink out a sponsorship deal for them.
100%.
But yeah, I mean, the Patrick Kane trade, I remember like on Twitter, you were doing like the Twitter spaces and those were huge. Like there was like 300 or 400 people in those spaces. Like, can you talk about that? Like, how excited were you when Kane got traded to the Rangers?
Well, so it's one of those things where it's like, you can't really share. I have a source, right? And you can go a couple ways about sharing things from a source. You could either just say exactly what they're telling you, or you could be protective of the source. And my source is very close to the organization. I don't want to necessarily blow his spot up because he's feeding me information that's legit. And a week before Patrick Kane was acquired, I knew that it was going to happen. I just couldn't fully give out the details. And it was tough because people doubted me. But I stuck to it the whole time. I knew that he was coming. And it was great, man. I didn't do spaces for a while. I didn't really know how to even work them, but it was fun. It's fun interacting with the Rangers fan base. I love our fan base. I love what they bring to the table. I love the questions they ask, and I'm going to be doing more of them throughout the year for sure. And you know, just because I left Barstool doesn't mean I'm going to stop doing my thing. You know, I've been doing it long before Barstool. It's just something that kind of caught steam and built the fan base around Barstool. I mean, I wouldn't be where I am today without the company. So I love doing those spaces, man. Communicating.
I'm definitely going to hop on those too. Whenever you do have them, those are a good time. They're a good time.
Yeah.
No, more Rangers content, the better. Spaces, while they do have some of their bugs and their glitches, you know, they are a good way to, like, you know, expand your network, the Rangers community for sure. But now that Patrick Kane's on the Rangers, I mean, this team is like, they're locked and loaded. Last week, 4-0, as I said earlier. Ever since Kane's first practice, the team has just been, completely different. Like, there's been a different feel. They're playing their own style of the game. But like they hit a bump in the road on Tuesday against Carolina. I mean, for the first part of that game, it looked like the Rangers were, you know, playing the way that they had been playing. And then Carolina took a penalty and they killed that off fairly easily. And just everything after that seemed to, you know, change. Like, the entire complexity of the game changed, and Carolina ended up winning. What did you think of that game?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, the Rangers played a long week the week before. They played Pittsburgh three times. They had a couple back-to-backs. Like, you know, I wouldn't say that they looked tired, but it definitely showed towards the end of the second and the third period, their fatigue. They, you know, the Carolina's obviously a great team. They're number one in the division for a reason. But I do think the Rangers could play a seven-game series against them, no problem. I think that they need to work on some kinks. Like, you know, they have this new Rangers team hasn't seen Carolina, and you know, you just got to tip your cap. Carolina came back, they stormed back, and they prevailed. They're a really hard team to play against. They're hard on the puck, they're aggressive, but if you can chip the puck past them, you have a chance to beat them every single night. And I think this skilled Rangers team will end up figuring that out in the long run.
Yeah, I was going to say the Rangers had spent a lot of time in the offensive zone in the first period. They didn't do that as much in the second and the third.
Right.
Probably like midway through the second period. And then from then on, it was pretty much a logjam at center ice. Carolina's game was the forecheck. I felt like they got to their style of play, like they kind of took over. And they did it without Svechnikov too, which is crazy.
Yeah. Absolutely. They're a really, really good team, and they don't have necessarily a full-on star player. I mean, Aho's really, really good, and I think their back end is so solid, but they don't have that one star to put them over the top. But at the end of the day, they play like a team, man. They're hard on pucks. Like I said, they're hard to play against. That's what's something that all coaches around every aspect of hockey preach is hard to play against, hard to play against. So I think they're going to be a tough team to play against in the playoffs, but I do think the Rangers could end up beating them again.
Do you think it's a better matchup for the Rangers to play Carolina over the Devils, or is it the other way around?
I don't know, because listen, you're going to play both teams. Like, either one of the teams are going to make it to the second round. And we hope that we make it to the second round. You know, so if we play the Devils, we'll probably end up playing Carolina. If we play Carolina, we'll probably end up playing the Devils. So it's like, you got to play the best teams at the end of the day. So in terms of better matchup, it's so tough to say, right? Because the Devils are really fast, but they're a little bit weaker on the back end. And then the Carolina Hurricanes just play an all-around really good team defense game. So I'd probably say the Devils only because our power play would probably thrive better against the Devils than it would against Carolina.
That's a good point. That's a good point there because, yeah, Carolina was really, really impressive, their penalty kill. Like, the Rangers had nothing going on any of their power plays, which had been clicking in the past couple games. Like, that was one of the bright spots, right? One of the many bright spots from last week was the power play. And I think Gallant is mixing up the lines again. I think he put Zibanejad and Kane on the same unit today or yesterday in practice. We'll have to see how that works out because, I mean, again, it's a home and home against Carolina. What do you look for in this game?
Tonight, yeah, I think we just need to get the power play going again. We're a team that is able to draw a good amount of penalties. Tyler Motte is one of the best in the league at doing it. I forget how many power plays we had against Carolina. I think it was 3 or 4. We obviously went 0-4. But, if they can get the power play going against Carolina, they'll be good. It's tough. It's a tough place to play in, Carolina. They got passionate fans. But the Rangers got to get on the board early and dig the rest of the game because we know that Carolina is going to try to grind them out. But if they can really dig deep, they'll win tonight for sure.
I also think it's a something that's cool or interesting about the matchup is that Carolina has been building for a few years now. Like, you go back to 18-19, like when they went to the conference finals, right? You know, they have an expectation there. Their team is good enough to win, but can they get over the hump? And then the Rangers, they were, I mean, I didn't expect them to get past Carolina last year. So is it going to be like, does Carolina remember that? Do they all have a chip on their shoulder? Because as far as I know, that most of that team is the same. Like, they still have Shea, Aho is still there, Teravainen is still there, you know, Pesci, the defense is still the same. If they get the goalie to stay healthy, like Anderson, can they, you know, make it even closer? It was a 7-game series last year. Is that enough to put them over the hill there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the series can go either way. The Rangers have obviously made their additions. They've turned, you know, Vetrano and Kopp into Tarasenko and Kane. But the Carolinas also added some guys on the back end. They added Gostisbehere, who's been money for them on their power play. And they added Jesse Puljujärvi, another guy. Like, they've made moves as well to change their roster. But like you said, it's mostly the same. Like, these, there's definitely going to be some, you know, bad blood. There were some things that's, you know, built up in that series. So it's going to be – this playoffs is going to be insane. Like,
yeah.
We've never seen this much firepower in the East in terms of, like, really, really, really good teams. Like, for years, the Devils haven't been good. They've finally, like, figured it out and gotten really good. Carolina's really good. Like, this whole division, the Islanders are a sneaky, really good team, you know, and whoever ends up making that last wild card spot, like, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, I'm with you there on who's going to make the postseason that wild card spot, because I mean, the division spots are all like locked up basically. And it's funny because I've said it all the time on here, but you go back like 10 years ago, the Western Conference was the dominant conference. It was always Chicago, LA, Anaheim, San Jose. Those were the teams to beat. Now it's the East. The Eastern Conference is the teams like Tampa Bay, Boston, the Rangers, Hurricanes. Like, those are the teams that have really taken the big step forward. Those are the guys those are the teams to beat. So I think that's like an interesting, you know, flip there. Only 10 years it took.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt. It's kind of crazy how it just flips like that. But over the past couple of years, the East has just absolutely dominated. It's funny, like, sometimes the Western Conference team finds a way to win the cup. But in terms of like regular season success, the East has at least for as much as I can remember, been predominantly better.
Yeah, we've had some successful teams in the Eastern Conference, Tampa Bay, Boston. I mean, Boston this year, they're probably going to get to 60 wins for if they continue this, the pace that they're on.
Yep.
What do you think of, I've seen a lot of people like throwing in the Devils in Stanley Cup contender, like legitimate Stanley Cup contender consideration. Like, do you agree with that? I mean, it's none of their players have made it to the playoffs yet. Like, this is really their first year where this core of players and the coach and, you know, everybody on that team is going to make the playoffs. Like, do you consider them an actual legitimate cup threat?
Absolutely. I hate to say it, but no doubt. I mean, you look at the Rangers, they had minimal to no cup experience last year, and they were two games away from making the Stanley Cup final. So it's like, it's kind of crazy to think, but like anything could happen in the playoffs. We know that's what makes hockey great, is that the playoffs, you know, there's so much disparity and there's so many good teams. If the Devils' defense holds up and their goaltending holds up, you know, they could go all the way, man. They're a really skilled team, and they added Meyer, probably the best deadline acquisition of anybody in terms of raw talent. I mean, he's not putting up the points right now, but who knows what happens in the playoffs. Like, I always tell people that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This and last year really humbled me, because for the longest time, you know, you think the regular season matters, but as long as you get into the playoffs, none of it really matters. The Rangers swept Tampa in the regular season 4-0 last year, and then they, you know, go up 2-0 and then lose 4 straight. So it's like anything could happen. It's just a totally different atmosphere. The fans are different. Like, the buildings feel different. It's a totally different feeling for either team.
I'll admit, it still feels a bit scary as a Rangers fan to possibly go up against the Devils in the first round. That's why I'm thinking maybe you get the home ice advantage, like the second seed. Do you think that's still a possibility?
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, there's still plenty of games left to make it happen. If they really want to make it happen, they got to just storm. They got to win a lot of hockey games, but anything can happen, man. We've seen some crazy stuff in our time, and if the Rangers win a lot of games and the Devils start, you know, sliding down on a skid, there's definitely potential for that. But at the end of the day, I don't even really think home ice matters that much. You know, we beat Carolina 5-0 on their home ice last year, like in game 7. So it's like, you know, anything could happen.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, that series too was like, the home team won every single game up until game 7.
It was right.
I don't know, something must have clicked in that last game for Gallant, not having to make the line change first, you know.
That obviously is a thing, but also, like, if it ends up being the Devils, like, is there really, like, not home ice? Like, it's right across the river, you know, right? What I'm saying? And, like, Rangers fans show out. Like, they'll obviously sell more Devils fans tickets, but, yes. Like, it'll feel different, like, if the Rangers go up a couple goals. Like, there will be Ranger fans in the building, no doubt. A lot of them.
That's the interesting thing. Like, I know last year for the games in Raleigh, they had to, like, limit, you know, who was buying the tickets. Like, if they checked where your license was or something like that. I didn't go to any of those games, so I'm not sure. I can't remember exactly, but they did check to see if, like, you were from New York or New Jersey or something like that, and they limited who could buy it. I'd imagine they'd do the same thing if the Rangers do play the Hurricanes in the playoffs this year.
Yep.
I mean, the schedule for the Rangers, three of the next four games from now until next Thursday against playoff or teams that are in the playoffs, kind of in the playoffs. So tonight is against Carolina. Saturday is in Florida against the Panthers, who have looked like they're, you know, coming back to where they were last year. Maybe not as dominant as a team last year, but they're, you know, making that legitimate push for the playoffs. And then next Tuesday, they're at home against Columbus, obviously not a playoff team. And then the big one, in my opinion, this is a big test because the Rangers haven't played the Devils with this roster. They're going to be in New Jersey, and that's the last meeting of the regular season between the Rangers and the Devils. Would you say like that, that last one's probably the most important one?
Yeah. You know, I mean, it could come down to, you know, who gets the home ice or whatnot. We'll see. But yeah, it's going to be nuts. That the atmosphere in that building is going to be crazy. I'm going to try to go. But I, like I said, as much as it quote unquote matters, unless it's for standings, you know, whatever happens in that game happens, you know, it'll be really nice to win. I want to win these games, but, you know, we could lose and then play them in the playoffs and then, you know, sweep them 4-0. So at the end of the day, well, I really do want to see how these teams match up together. And that's an important thing for the coaching staff and the players to like kind of get a grip on. But we know anything can happen in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think the health aspect is a big deal too. Like you got to stay healthy between now and the end of the season. So when would you say, like, if at all, you know, icing a lineup that has, you know, Harper in it instead of Lindgren, or like they call up Brodzinski or something like that? Do you think the Rangers will start to do that soon, or will they go from now until the end of the season trying to get as many points?
I think they'll just go right through because they don't really have that much room in terms of cap space to kind of maneuver around. You might see, like, you know, guys like Mott and Lindgren sit a couple games because they're banged up. But in terms of like top guys, I think they're just going to play through the rest of the year.
Yeah, Mott and Lindgren have been beat up. Like, Mott has taken a beating since he came back to the Rangers.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's played really well though.
Oh my God, phenomenal. He's been one of our key players in these last, you know, 4 or 5 games.
I hope the Rangers like extend him in the offseason. I know they're going to be tight on salary, but man, that is a good player. Like, he does a lot of great things. Like, that's one of those guys that was like a 2014, like Dominic Moore kind of.
Yep. I was like just going to say
Brian Boyle too. Like Boyle, speaking of Boyle, he just retired too yesterday.
Yep. He took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah. He's just as close as to Dom Moore as you're going to get. That, you know, that you need guys like that. You need guys who can skate and also be first on pucks in the playoffs, especially on your fourth line, because, you know, when you're on the road, that's the one big thing is the mismatches. And if you get stuck out there against a, you know, a Devils or a Carolina Hurricanes top line, you want to be able to send your fourth line out there with confidence. And Gallant's clearly had that with this new fourth line. And like VC and Goudreau have been great compliments as well. So I'm excited to see what that line will do in the playoffs, mm-hmm. because we know how important that fourth line was for the Rangers in 2014. So.
Mm-hmm. Couple more questions I got for you before we wrap it up. But like Lindgren came back into the lineup and on Tuesday, he got like kind of banged up, but I think he's good to go for tonight's game in Carolina at least. There was talk about, like, you know, if Fox felt comfortable, if Fox not playing the way that he was playing, you know, pre-injury to Lindgren, because he was paired with Mikola for the most part. But I mean, overall, as a season, like, Adam Fox, is this his best season so far, or is his Norris winning season still better? Because I've seen some people kind of argue, like, this season has been amazing. He should definitely win the Norris Trophy. And then some people will say, like, nah, this Norris Trophy season, there's no way he's better than that one.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, listen, he's great. He's a top three D-man in the league. He's so smart. Like, that's what separates him is his hockey IQ. He's like, you know, you got all these defensemen like Makar, you know, who can skate and fly like the wind. And Fox might not have that speed, but he makes up for it with his ability to know what the next move is with the puck. He knows exactly what the next guy is doing before he even makes that move. It's incredible to watch. And yeah, he's having a phenomenal season, but like when you lose a guy who really hasn't missed a game in his Rangers career in Ryan Lindgren, a guy you've played with your entire career, it's tough. And it's a tough adjustment, you know, because defense is all about like telepathy and, you know, working on chemistry. When you have a defensive partner, you want to have that defensive partner throughout your career. I mean, look at Jacob Trouba and Keandre Miller. They played, you know, most of their career as Rangers together. They've logged the most minutes out of any pairing in the Rangers, like since, I don't know, since Miller started. So like what, 3 years? So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Fox and Lindgren are a perfect pairing together. And you know, they might have struggled a little bit the other night, but they were just getting their bearings back. Like that's a pairing that when Lindgren's playing back, Fox can do more fun things and mm-hmm. he puts up more points because of it. So if there was like a little bit of a Fox skid playing with Mikkola, it has nothing to do with Mikkola's play. It more has to do with the fact that Fox and Lindgren have been together for so long, and when you separate that because of an injury, it becomes tough on Fox, as good as he is, for anybody, you know?
Mm-hmm. So it's on the chemistry aspect and the mental aspect.
Yeah, no doubt.
Familiarity, too.
Yeah.
Like with Lindgren. Mikkola is still new to the team. Like, he's only had, what, like maybe 20 games? Not even.
Right. Like Fox, you know, Fox and Lindgren can make pass to each other with their eyes closed. They just know where they're going to be on the ice. Yeah.
No, that's a good point. And speaking of like trophy winning seasons, like I heard Joe Micheletti mention this on the broadcast, the possibility of Zibanejad going for the Selke trophy. How realistic do you think that is?
I didn't even know that was a possibility. I mean, he could. We know what Mika is to this team, man. Like when he's not in the lineup, it really shakes up the team. Like as great as guys like Panarin are, like we know that without Mika in this lineup, like he's the glue, man. He's the number one guy, and he's phenomenal. Like I said, I had no idea that he was even like in the running for the Selke, but it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I would love to see that. I haven't seen a Ranger win a Selke trophy. I mean, it was always like the same damn players. It's always Bergeron. Back in the day, it was Datsyuk. You know what I mean? Like those guys, Ryan Kessler, those are the guys that would always win. To have somebody like that on the team now, you know, that's amazing. To have your forward be one of your best defensive players, love that.
Yeah, no doubt. He's phenomenal on both ends of the ice. And, you know, he's our power play specialist. And he does things every night that you're like, wow. Like I can't believe we have a legit number one center.
Mm-hmm. And he's like pushing 40 goals right now. He's at 37. I'd be interested to see if he makes a push for 50. I don't know. We've seen it happen. I think in like 2012, Stamkos had like, with like maybe 10 games left, he had like 50 goals and he ended up getting 60. I could be wrong on that, but I do remember Stamkos got like 60 in 2012. I'd love to see 50 goals from
Zibanejad. I wouldn't put it past Mika. I think he totally could. No problem.
Yeah. He definitely would have had it that one year, the 2019-20, if the season didn't get canceled because of COVID. He was on a tear. He's on a tear. He definitely
Absolutely.
Would have 50 in that one. Last question. Do you think, yes or no, like, do you think the Rangers can maintain that level of play from last week? I know we talked about it a little bit already, but that last week when they went 4-0, it just seemed like they were dominating every single game. Can this team stay in that mentality, whatever they say in the dressing room? Maybe it's Trouba saying something, but they all continue to buy in and play the exact same way?
Absolutely, man. Like, I think this team – this is the best Rangers roster I've seen in my lifetime. And the way that they've looked in the past week, you know, you're bound to hit one skid. And if that skid is against the best team in the conference, and it's not even a terrible skid, it was just like, you know, a little bit of a lapse in judgment and play. They could have been tired. We don't know. then that's like the least of my concern. I really think this team is special and this team is going to go far. And hopefully, you know, in June, they're lifting the Stanley Cup. Love to see it.
Yeah, man, that would be awesome. The next thing I would love to see is an 82-game schedule season with this exact roster. Like, no changes. The lines stay the same. Power play lines stay the same. Everything stays the same. Just these players, 82 games, I'd love to see what kind of record they would have.
I'd love to see them make that happen. Hopefully they can with the cap.
Yeah, man. It's I'll try and stay away from that stuff because it's like, it's too far. I want to enjoy this run. Like,
yeah. When people talk about like off-season stuff, I don't really play into it because like, the off-season doesn't matter if you're lifting the Stanley Cup in June. So that's the focus.
Right, and the conditions on first round picks and stuff like that. Dad, don't worry about that. Like last year with Kopp, like it was a conditional first, and I don't think anybody was thinking about that when the Rangers made the conference finals. Like they're just like, oh, yeah, we're in the conference finals, man. Like this is a good trade.
Yeah, none of that matters.
Yeah, man. I mean, like this is a good run. I mean, last week 4-0. Let's hope they can keep it up. Bump in the road Tuesday. Hopefully they come back with a win tonight. And again, the big one is if you lose the next two games, hopefully you don't lose to Columbus. But geez, if you lose to Columbus, that's an embarrassment. But the big thing is if you get a victory in New Jersey against the Devils next week, that would be outstanding. There's 11 games left, including tonight's game. So if the Rangers could run the table, maybe go 8-3, maybe they could get to the second seed.
Yep.
Possibly. I don't think division title is realistic. I think second seed is a lot more realistic, and first seed is basically just a fantasy. That would be nice, but no.
Yeah, man. I'd love to see it. I'd love for them to make it happen, and we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I think tonight's another really big test for this team, and I think they'll prevail. I think they'll come back with a lot of fire playing tonight.
All right, Avery, I appreciate you doing this with me. We're going to end the broadcast. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Hey, Rangers fans. Thank you so much for listening to the Ice Cold Takes podcast this week. Make sure you follow at Ice Cold Takes Pod on Twitter to stay up to date with the latest Rangers info. See you all next week.
Time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.